Welcome to episode 6 of Three is Company. We're here talking about the Lord of the Rings card game, the Living Card Game by Fantasy Flight Games. We have the usual crew of myself, Joseph, and Liam, and Ryan, who has just actually played a game with real people, with real cards. And we have a special guest with us, Andrew, who is local in Portland and one of the guys that I play with regularly. Thanks for being with us, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about the Fate of Wilderland quest and cards, and then another topic later on. But before that, what have people been playing? How about you, Andrew?
Well, today we were, some friends over, we were playing Outer Rim, which is also Fantasy Flight, the new Star Wars game. So that's a good bunch of fun. I lost by a lot. And then we also ended up playing, so this is one of the games I really enjoy and almost never get to play, because it takes about 4.5 hours if you're lucky. And you need at least 3 people. So it's Fantasy Flight's Android game. So I had people over today. We played that. That was pretty epic. It's a cyberpunk future where you have to solve a murder, but nobody ever really knows who the actual murderer is. Each player is given a theory of the crime, and your goal is to prove that your theory is correct. So you just want to gather more evidence to prove your theory as opposed to anyone else. So whoever has the most evidence on them at the end of the game is declared the killer.
But you never know the truth.
You never know the absolute truth. And you can also put hits out and have other people's suspects assassinated, so they could never be declared the killer. They're dead. So it's a super involved, complex game, but once you kind of get moving, it rolls pretty fast. And there's a puzzle part where it's like this conspiracy of corporations, and then each person's character has a journey that they go through that's different from everyone else's. And you can play cards to make them depressed and make them have sad endings on top of everything else. So
you've been talking about this for a couple of years. I feel like you cheated on me. I was going to play that with you.
Yeah. Well, where were you?
You didn't tell me.
I know, right? We need 3. That's the thing, is we need 3 people. We have to do it one night when you, me, and Darren, have exhausted all the Lord of the Rings quests.
Just all the nightmare packs to go, then we can do that.
That's right. So those are the ones I've played lately, as well as Journey to Mordor. My daughter really loves that, so we've played that a bunch of times. It's the $10 dice game,
right?
It takes 5 minutes, so that's about her attention span.
You and I got some games in, 2 weeks ago at Guardian Games?
Yep. It was Lord of the Rings. It was this game that we're talking about now.
The good game, yeah.
The one game, yeah.
To rule them all.
That's right.
How about you, Ryan? You just jumped out of a game, right?
I did, yes. I had the fortune of meeting some real people in Melbourne to play a game with today. So that was really good. Really fun experience. I got a few stories from that if you're interested.
Yeah.
It was nice. So I met up with 2 guys, one called Clinton, one called Jay. It turns out one of them is a New York Times best-selling author.
So wow.
I'm not sure my 2,000 rep on RingsDB can compete with that right now, but I'll keep trying. I don't know if I can. Yeah, it says he's sold books in over 35 countries, so that's really impressive, I think. And we played Journey Up the Anduin. We played it twice. So we started off playing it 3-player. And that quest can combo on you sometimes,
yep.
Where if certain treacheries trigger off of certain active locations.
that arrows in his back.
Yeah, so I was playing, I just took along a Dale deck, and I took along my Radagast Eagles deck as well. And I ended up playing the Dale deck, and Clinton was playing Tactics Gimli and Beregond and Glorfindel, Corset Glorfindel. And then Jay, the other guy, had a Dúnedain deck with Aragorn, Amarthiel, and Damrod. And so we struggled initially to sort of get past stage 1. We got all the way to stage 3, and it was looking positive until we had Hills of Wilderlands, the active location, with 7 threat on it. And we quested pretty much all in as much as we could for about 26 or something. First card that comes out is Ruined Supplies. And all of my allies had 1 damage already. So the Dale army was wiped by that.
Oh, ouch.
So I lost about 10 power or something. was terrible.
They all ate the fish.
They really, yeah, they bit the dust all right. And then the next one was the Dangerous Crossing, which did 7 damage to each player, and just wiped Clinton's board. Wow. Like, it killed Glorfindel and Gimli, and he was left with Beregond.
Ooh.
And we promptly folded at that point. So it's funny how that quest can, is all looking rosy, and then all of a sudden that combo just totally turns the quest on its head if you're not prepared for that, because we didn't have much healing out either. And then so Clinton had to leave, so we played again 2-player, and again we struggled early. Now, this is one of those cases where you predict which card's going to come out. You say, oh, I really hope this card doesn't get revealed. And lo and behold, there it is. And I did that 3 times.
Don't say it.
First turn, I had a handful of cards, Dale deck with Berevor, and I said, oh, if that Lost in the Wild comes out now, I'm going to get wrecked. First card off the encounter deck. Lost in the Wild. Yeah. So I discarded a huge hand with, you know, King of Dale and all this stuff in it. And so I was really trying to claw it back from that point on. Luckily, Jay's Dunedain deck really carried it. He had a really good start with like Steward turn one and all this stuff. And there was another time where I was defending with a sentry with 3 damage on him. And I said, oh, this better not be that deal 1 damage to the defender shadow effect. And there it was. And it was some chud. It was like a, you know, Misty Mountain Goblins. And there was another one that I did. But we did win. We absolutely creamed it once we got control of the board. And I saw Northern Tracker pop 3 Gladden Fields on the same turn from the staging area. That was amazing. Yeah. So like victory 9, minus 9 threat the same turn. That was really good. So that was really good. We're going to meet up again in about a month.
Awesome.
Apparently there's a couple more guys around here who play, so it might be 5 or 6 people next time. So it's gone from nothing to a group. It only takes 1 meeting.
Yeah, so, just takes a little initiative sometimes.
Get out there and do it.
How did you find them, Ryan?
Find the players. There is a Melbourne LCG Facebook group, but there wasn't much activity in it. I joined it about a year ago, and then this other guy, Clinton, started playing about 7 months ago or something, and then he posted in the main group, so you know, the Lord of the Rings players group, and then he posted in here as well and just made an event, and 2 of us showed up.
Nice.
So I think if you're out there on your own, like, you know, give it a try because it's worth it. Outside of that, I've just been playing a few games with you, Joseph, and Clash Royale as always. I think we played a few Nightmare games, haven't we? City of Corsairs, we talked about that on the last video. We played the Wizard's Quest, that was really fun.
Yeah,
I think people were saying,
point out that I think I won.
You did win, yeah, because I didn't really think about the fact that it is supposed to be a race, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
And I think if you look at the number of rounds, then you won. I did my best to get you, though. I think you had
more
characters than I did.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't really know.
A lot more impressive.
Yeah, I didn't really know what was in your deck, so I was playing kind of conservatively because I'd never played it before.
And I was playing recklessly with undefended attacks.
You were. You knew it was a safe one, though. So, yeah, it's been good. How about Liam? What have you been playing?
Playing a little bit of Lord of the Rings. Me and Steve, I'm not sure if we can really claim we beat King's Quest, but there's a number of asterisks. we decided we were going to probably play again next time we play, because it was just like one too many mistakes, really. But,
is that because you had 3 copies of Wizard Pipe out on Radagast?
That wasn't even the worst one. Even the worst.
And also, you have 3 copies of Maneldor as well.
That was the worst mistake. I took a picture of the board and sent it across to you guys. And I got a couple of asterisks here.
Well, it was my deck, so I was interested.
Well, that's it, yeah.
And when I zoomed
I put together sort of like a slightly tweaked version of your deck, but it's really fun. We'll definitely recommend it. What do you call it? You've got a nice pun for it. I can't remember. On Rings DB. What's the deck called?
Eagles Out.
Yeah, that's it. Phil, you help me. Super fun deck, though. And had a bunch of cards from this pack review. So I actually have played some of these cards for the first time, I think, whilst doing these pack reviews, which is nice. Great fun deck. Really enjoyed it. It was great having Eagles Out again. Lots of nice, cool tricks with Vilya and you know, all of the eagles and things like that. But yeah, it was obviously the first time I played that deck, so I don't know why I didn't look at the uniqueness of that eagle. I just assumed he wasn't for some reason. But yeah, there was a couple of little mistakes. Yeah, exactly. I could just kind of like had my thumb over it, I guess. But played that, gonna replay that. luckily it's a fun quest actually. We were stuck on it for a while, but our decks worked really well when we beat it, because we cheated obviously, but apart from that they were working pretty well anyway. To be honest, I don't think it would have made too much difference, because we were like winning by quite a lot from the start, and all of our little asterisks came in once we had like real big control over the board and everything. But yeah, it's a fun quest actually. I've been enjoying King's Quest, so I'm not too sad to play it again. But yeah, that's my Lord of the Ringsing. Been doing a fair amount of painting, obviously. I've got like a colour scheme set up, so just been trying to batch paint, but I got a bit bored batch painting, so now I'm sort of like taking them up in small groups of like 3 or 4 from sort of unpainted to painted, because yeah, trying to batch paint like 20, it just really does my head and gets a bit boring. I like to see some end product. Played a little bit of Clash. Oh, I played Blood Bowl Team Manager. It's like the card game from Fantasy Flight Games. That's a really fun game. I think it's out of print now, but if anyone gets a chance to buy it, it's a really great game. Super fun. And that's it, really. That's what I've done. Just lots of work.
It's been a while since we recorded, and I've been apparently gaming too much. I have a huge list of stuff I've done. I won't bore you with all the details, but we got to run a Wizards Quest event out in Beaverton near Portland here, and had 6 people show up. And 6 people is an awkward number for the Wizards Quest, because that competitive 2v2, and with 6 people, can't do 3v3. So we did a chain of 2v2v2, which is kind of weird, because the people at the bottom of the table were picking stuff for the people at the top of the table. That was fun. Andrew, didn't you win that one?
I did win that one.
With a good Rohan deck, which is a
mythical deck. Yeah, I finally figured out a decent Rohan deck.
Must have listened to episode playing, one.
My son Liam was playing Outlands. Sort of Outlands. It actually wasn't as many Outlands as you should use. He's 13, or he's 12. He'll be 13 soon, but he's actually been playing since he was about, I think, 8 or 9 with me. I've made him undateable. He will never get a girlfriend. I've made him so dorky.
So. My son.
What are you saying?
What do you plan? I feel personally attacked.
My son is 6, and he wants to play Lord of the Rings. But I told him The Hobbit comes before that. So then he found this game called The Hobbit that I have, so he said, let's do this first. I have to work my way up to Lord of the Rings. And then he found Lord of the Rings FFG board game that's cooperative, and he said, that's Lord of the Rings Junior. So he has this whole plan sequence of how he's going to learn his way all the way up to the card game with me.
Nice.
Which I told him he could just try it with me now, but he needs to do this ladder up. Mm-hmm. But after that Wizards Quest event, I actually saw the Wizards Quest cards pretty well destroy one group. I designed a set to just spam locations and make people miserable that way. And it did. It threatened somebody out, and it had like 30 threat in the staging area at once with just locations. It was dreadful and beautiful. And then I've been working on a solo campaign. I've never done that before. I've done 2-player, 3-player, 4-player saga campaigns, but I decided to do a solo one. And I've been trekking through the last 2 weeks. I've done 13 quests all the way up to just finished Journey to the Crossroads, which was a project. But I've been enjoying that a lot, building up decks that are as thematic as I can do and still beat them, but still putting Sneak Attack Gandalf in when I need a crutch. And spamming Rings DB. All 3 of the newest decks up there are mine, I'm afraid. I got to play one of the guys, big name in the online community, Mike, he goes by Bogey, I think, online. Came out, I think he lives Minnesota way, but he was in Portland for work, so we got together with him and played Cobus Haven at Deadman's Dyke. Had a good time there. And then my wife and I have been playing through Journeys in Middle-earth. We've got up to 10th. We just finished the 10th scenario tonight, and my opinion of that is improving overall. The games haven't been dragging on as long. Some fun decisions to make. The whole issue with enemies that I mentioned last time, with just spamming orcs out all the time, is kind of gone away. The combat seems a lot more balanced the further we get into the game. I take big issue with the writing. It just doesn't feel like Tolkien at all to me. And some of the characters they put in there are kind of totally foreign. It doesn't feel like Lord of the Rings at all. But for a game, It's still a good game. That is wraps it up for me, it looks like. Let's move on to Fate of Wilderland. This is the last adventure pack of this cycle. Let's just talk about the quest for a minute.
The quest is dumb, and I hate it.
You texted me a lot about it that week when it came out.
I was about ready to sell all my cards. I'm like, screw it. This game is dumb. Nobody plays it.
Tell us your story.
The game is over. Although now I think looking back, I probably did a bunch of things wrong to make things harder on myself. But playing through solo, I just hit this constant perfect storm of drawing all exactly what I think Liam was saying earlier. It's just like, as long as this card doesn't come out, and it's always the first card. Like I tried a Thranduil deck, I couldn't get moving because I would constantly be drawing the like lose all your resources and
swarm of bats,
and you know, and then I would just end up with like I'd have five goblins sitting out there turn one, you know, just playing solo. And it's like I can't, you know, I get really irritated. And then Joseph's like, "Oh, I beat it the first time."
Like, I got lucky and pretty much built up an ideal deck for it. And beat it like 2 out of 3 times.
I even tried that deck and I was like, I got killed like right away.
And then I played it with a bunch of other decks and got destroyed.
Yeah. And then I played it with that deck and I was like, then I like won it like 5 times in a row. So I'm like, oh, this is weird. I don't hate it. It's a cool quest. I don't hate it.
It was quite fun with 4 players, wasn't it? That was nuts.
Yeah.
So many enemies out.
Yeah.
And it came down to the last couple progress we had could put on the
we were down to the wire,
really close. Ryan played that with me online, the blind. He'd never played it before. We recorded that was a good time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun. That was a really fun one. I think I'm well up for some more blind games, because you read card effects and you go, what does that say? What is the deck that beat it then, in case people are interested in that?
I haven't published it, but it's just kind of your typical mono tactics, but instead of Theoden, I put in Beorn. Hero Beorn.
I didn't use Beorn, I used Theoden.
Okay, that's probably pretty good too. But Hero Beorn lets you defend and kill your first enemy, basically, which just gets you into a really good position right away. And then I had quite a few eagles in my deck, able to get enough eagles out by turn 3 or so, I didn't have to defend with Beorn very much. And yeah, it worked pretty good. But questing can stall out with just Eowyn and Hiragon plus some eagles if you're not careful.
Well, you need the one guy that you need. If you get him early on, then you can kill those Surgy goblins.
Right, the Knight of Minas Tirith?
Yeah.
Play that guy, pull him down and kill him.
That's very helpful. You don't have to engage them then along with all the, you know, you don't have to engage like 5 goblins at once. So yeah, once I got that good draw early on, then it worked. It was pretty easy to get through. After the first 30 times, I died in the first round.
Well, that's what you have to look forward to, Liam. Yeah. 30 deaths.
Awesome. Unless we just put a few asterisks on there, it'll be fine.
There you go.
I've not played it yet myself, but yeah, I'm not super looking forward to it now. It sounds really hard.
It's very fun. Yeah.
Cool.
Kind of has a race element to it, and it's just a pitched battle the entire time. There's just enemies, enemies, enemies. And some of them are no pushovers. And there's always decisions to make, too. Let's go ahead and look at the player cards that we got. The big news is the hero. Ryan, do you want to lead us off and read the hero and maybe his accompanying item as well?
Sure, yeah, because the item is actually the last card in the pack, but it doesn't really make sense to leave it till the end, does it? So,
yeah.
I get the pleasure of both. And this is good because it's somebody I've played with. So this is exciting. So this is Radagast, and he is a lore hero. He is 11 threat cost, 2 willpower, 2 attack, 3 defense, and 4 health. And he is an Astari hero. Or Astari, depending on where you're from. Yeah, and it says, you may use resources from Radagast's pool to pay for creature allies of any sphere. And he has a response, after you play a creature card, Radagast does not exhaust to quest this round. So let me read the staff as well. So this is Radagast's staff. It's unique and costs 2. It's neutral. It's an artifact, item, and a staff. It says attached to Radagast, and it has an action. Exhaust Radagast staff to choose one. Reduce the cost of the next creature ally you play this phase by two. Ready a creature ally, or return a non-unique creature enemy engaged with you to the staging area. So lots of potential uses for the staff, and lots of potential uses for his ability as well to play creature allies from any sphere. Although there's a slight controversy around wording, which I'm sure we'll get to later. But I played with Radagast, and I really like him as a hero. I think he's not like a blow your mind kind of hero in my experience, but he's a great support hero. And he definitely makes you revisit Eagle decks, which is what I've mainly done with him so far. What are your thoughts, Joseph?
I haven't played him as much as you, but I've seen you play him a good bit, and I've played a couple decks. When I first saw him, I kind of thought, okay, this is like Elrond 2.0, 3 defense, 4 hit points in lore. He'll be Defender Man, right?
Yeah.
But so far, he hasn't really done that in my games or your games very much, has he?
I'm using him for defense, yeah, mostly. Do you mean as your main defender, though?
Yeah.
I'm kind of using him as a early game defender until I get a big eagle set up.
I guess you're playing with eagles all the time, and eagles have good defense too, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and once I get a Burning Brand on him, it's usually there's some weak enemy that I know I can safely defend, or even a big one, because he can eat a, 6 attack enemy safely.
Right.
So you can take something like a goblin troop, stick a couple of damage on him, and he'll be okay for the rest of the game defending the weak ones while the big eagle deals with the nasty guys. That's the way I tend to use him.
You've also got a card that we'll be talking about later, the Loyal Hound, which can, with a Burning Brand, make him in a pinch defend for a little bit more as well, which is quite nice.
Mm. Yeah, because of some damage. And I do play him with a tactics hero for various reasons. So it's not inconceivable you could run honor guards alongside Radagast. Mm-hmm. And then he'd be a great defender. Because the main deck I've been playing him in is with Merry or Eowyn and Elrond. And I'm using Vilya to dump out those big eagles, along with the staff to reduce their cost and the normal 3 resources you get. So you can play a lot of allies in that deck really quickly. And I find it works quite well. I think that, okay, let's go on to his ability, the resource one, because this was actually the first thing I saw when he was spoiled was, I thought he was going to be like Bard, but he's like Elrond. So you still need a resource match to play a 0 cost creature. So if you reduce the cost of a 2 cost tactics eagle to 0, you still need a resource match, going by the way his ability is worded.
All right.
Because he doesn't give you the icon.
Which is silly, and apparently in playtesting, none of the playtesters or the designer remembered that that's how it actually works.
And Elrond's got the same thing. Elrond can't play a 0 cost ally because you're not spending any resources if you do that.
Dunedain Hunter or something.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Bard, Son of Brand can, because it says you gain the resource icon when you're playing that card. So I think they meant to design it like him, didn't they?
Sounds like it.
So I guess if the intent is, you know, it's publicly intended to be like that, then by all means, go and play it that way. But I've been playing it as printed. And it still works. Still a great deck. Still a really fun hero.
Yeah, there's just a few 1 and 2 cost allies, eagles that you can't, or this raven that comes later. But it's not a big deal.
Mm.
But I guess it's more of a deal when you sort of combine it with the staff, isn't it? It's the reduction from the staff, and then all of a sudden, it's like,
play a little bit carefully. Or just run a tactics hero, which is what I've been doing. Yeah. And then it takes that one away.
The tactics heroes are great in that deck, I thought, as well. It was, it worked quite well. But I really like Radagast. I think his defense at 3 is like just one shorter than you would want from like a really great defender. So he kind of like, similar to Ryan, I was using him sort of early game to help me set up. And then once he had Burning Brand, he was just sort of defending like a middle of the road creature that I was engaged with. And I just didn't really have to sort of think about him or deal with him, because inevitably you do play a creature every single turn in the deck that Ryan was talking about. Like I don't think there was a turn where I didn't play a creature, to be honest. The eagles, a lot of eagles are pretty cheap. Got Elrond doing what Elrond does with Vilya, and the reduction from the staff as well meant that you were playing creatures a lot. And there's plenty of card draw because you're in lore there as well. So he would always quest for two, and then defend just like a creature that I happened to be engaged with that I didn't really want to deal with just yet, or just didn't really care about because I had Burning Brand at that point. He is, as Ryan said, very supporty, though. He's not sort of a flashy hero in any sense.
He's not Gandalf, is he?
He's not Elrond of Villia either. So it's quite nice to pair him with him there because you get the flashy plays, the cool plays. But he's a very solid support hero. I actually prefer him a lot more after playing him than when I originally read the cards, to be honest.
It's fitting that he's a support hero because he really isn't central to the story, and he didn't really express a whole lot of interest in the important things happening in Middle Earth either.
What do you think of him, Andrew?
He didn't do me any favors in the 30 times that I lost the quest. But I do like it. I mean, I do like, I think one of the things I've liked too about a lot of the newer cards that have come out is that they are reinvigorating a lot of the older cards, the way that he is with the Eagles. So I'd like to really kind of get in and build one. My son had built one with him and then not put the cards back in the box. So I went to play at Darren's house with Joseph and then I'm like, where are all my good tactics cards? Because my son had taken them and then had hidden them from me. So, but no, I think he's great. One of the cards that I've found wanting to play and I never early on was kind of seemed really kind of way too problematic was the Word of Command from the Long Dark, where you can exhaust an Astari character to search your deck for one card and add it to your hand. That seems like that's with him as a hero now and. The Gandalf options, that's a way more viable card and could be pretty powerful.
That's a good point because it's much more appealing to exhaust Radagast, who doesn't exhaust to quest, than to exhaust Gandalf, who often is absolutely tooled up to the eyeballs and has a ton of stats that you want to take advantage of, not necessary to draw the card. So I hadn't even thought of Word of Command. That's a really solid choice for a Radagast deck.
Yeah, and I think things like that let you. We always have this discussion about, like, to me, in a lot of situations, it seems kind of pointless to put one copy of any card in your deck because, like, you either want to be able to draw the card at some point or you don't. But with a card like this, it would, at least to me, it makes more sense to put one copy of something because then you've got these three other cards that could, you know, conceivably let you get to that card a lot easier. You know, if you're putting one copy of something in there, it's like, oh, if I draw it, I draw it. If I don't, I don't. But I think for me, especially playing as much solo as I had in the past, was like, I don't have space for just the one card that, you know, I might or might not draw. I basically have like 10 cards that I need to get like right away. So.
And that's why my deck building drives you nuts, right?
Yep. Well, I'm like, you whatever, you do your thing. But I was like, I don't know why you would put one copy of any card in there. It's just like, don't use that card. Obviously, it's not that important to get to. But if you can get to it, then with a Word of Command or something, then it makes that a lot more viable.
Yeah, it's perfect on Radagast because that Word of Command is just an action. So you can do it anytime during your game turn. And if he doesn't exhaust a quest, then if you end up not needing him for combat, you could just send him off to find that card with really no cost. Anything else on Radagast?
No, Radagast himself, but his staff that Ryan read out a moment ago as well, I think is a really awesome card, really. It's fantastic to start getting that reduction on your creature allies. I have to be honest, I didn't use it to ready a creature. I certainly didn't use it to return a non-unique creature engaged with me to the staging area. I think that last part there, it seems a bit like whatever, really. But the first part, right, it's all about that, the reducing the cost by two. Did you find yourself readying at all, Ryan, when you were playing your deck quite a bit?
Yeah, a lot. I'd ready up a big attack eagle. Yeah, but yeah, once you get an eagle, you know, defending for seven, ready it up. As the game goes on, I don't think you need the reduction as much. The reduction's a really nice early game because this is too neutral and you can get it back immediately if you've got a creature to play. That's a really good thing about this.
Well, it seems to want to pair with the Loyal Hound.
So what, you quest with it and then ready it, you mean? Or
I guess not as much as I thought. To choose, reduce the cost of the next creature ally by 2. Because the hound's a little pricey. I mean, for 2, if you're just going to discard him at some point. Yeah. But if he's free with the staff, then it's like, oh, yeah, that's a great thing to have in play just in case you need to, prevent some damage real quick. So,
yeah, it's funny. I haven't actually used the hound's ability yet. I think I cut it down to 2 copies of the hound because I find myself questing with them for 1 more often than not. I didn't really need the ability. But it's a nice saver to have it. It's a really nice thing to have, a little safety valve. But 2 attack, which is good in lore.
Yeah.
What eagle were you having that was a 7 attack that you want to ready? Is that Eagle of the Misty Mountain?
Yeah. So actually, I should clarify, that was the game with Joseph where he also had eagles. If 2 people are running lots of cheap eagles, one of those can get buffed fast. Still, though, in a long game, like with 3 Maneldor and 3 of the Wimps and 3 of the Guardian or whatever they're called, it can get up there. You can get to a 5 or 6, attack eagle. And so I'll defend with it, and then I'll ready it and kill. And the last bit is quest-dependent, really. So if you play Nightmare Passage through Mirkwood, I guarantee you will use that ability because Mongolian Spawn is non-unique, and I kept bouncing it back to the stage area over and over again to control it until I was ready to deal with it. So that's quite good. It might depend on the quest, though, because if you get one of those werewolves, for example, in Eredmithrin, and you're not prepared for it, it's going to let you just keep sending it back over and over or whatever. Doesn't until you can actually
double attack you.
Yeah, exactly. So it can be helpful to have that there.
Is that the werewolf that you have to kill it in 1 shot? Otherwise, you just don't buff its attack loads.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was thinking of the pack of wolves, too.
Those as well. I mean, they can attack twice, and they're hitting for 4, I think.
They're 40 engagement cost, so easy to dodge for a while, but yeah.
Maybe I need to. Because you're right, like late game, you don't need resource acceleration. You've already drawn like vast majority of your deck and played all your allies and stuff. But I was using it predominantly for the resources. I just saw it as like, Steward of Gondor.
But then once you finish with that, look at it as 2 attack every turn or 3 attack.
Yeah.
Depending on what you've got out there. If you've got Landreval or something, it's 3 attack.
Yeah.
So is Radagast forever tied to eagles, or do you think we're going to get any more interesting creatures? Selection is pretty limited right now, apart from eagles, right?
They've got 1 in the pack that will come up later that's not an eagle, that's a creature. But I was trying to think, is there anything else? Is there any
others? You get the Rohan horses. From way back when, those are creatures.
Yeah, the spirit stallion. Ones.
Well, even before there were so many cards, I could remember all the names.
I think you're talking about the Riddermark's Finest?
Yes.
I really like them.
He's a creature. So, that gives you some location control without having a Rohan deck or a spirit hero.
Mm. Build a pony.
Are mounts, are they creatures? Are they creature cards? Can you play it?
I want the Wild Stallion.
The Wild Stallion's quite good, but it doesn't really work very well in an Eagles deck. Actually, the Wild Stallion's really good.
I threw a giant bear in my Radagast deck, and that was pretty valuable.
Yeah, that's good, too.
That's good. Can't tell that the Eagles can't ride horses?
No. You can pick it up.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. There's like a million enemy creatures,
Yeah, but where else can it go apart from eagles? Like, what creatures, when you think about the books and stuff, come up quite regularly that would be on the side of good? Because there's quite a lot of bad stuff, like wargs and spiders and what have you. But, like, actual sort of, like, good creatures.
He's into rabbits, isn't he?
He's got his rabbits.
Little rabbit's head.
It's a squirrel there on the picture. 2 squirrels and a bird.
There's a little fox that has a little monologue, or just he watches Bilbo or something in the Shire in the early parts of, I think, Fellowship of the Ring. You could get a fox.
There's a fox with a monologue.
He has he sees Bilbo and he has this little thought that's really weird.
I must have completely scrubbed that from my mind.
Or maybe it's the Hobbit. I can't remember. But it does open up some more space for creature allies, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I hope they do. To be honest, though, it is nice having Eagles out again. That makes Eagles, like, strong. Like, it felt strong. It felt like a strong deck. The deck that Ryan's Villa deck felt really strong. And it had loads of really fun plays. Like, it was a really fun deck to play. I really liked sort of, like, messing around, like, bouncing stuff onto the top of your deck and then sort of playing it and using Villa. Like, you could sort of, like, pick the card, expensive card in your hand that would work best for the situation that you were in. You could bounce, like, big Eagles. I quite liked... I was tempted to go up to two of the unique Eagle. I think it's Gwai here, not Landrover. The one that allows you to go into your discard pile, play an Eagle, and if it's still around, it goes back to your hand.
Mm-hmm.
We killed a troll using that came out, like, within the first turn by, playing Descendants of Thorindor. And then that's two damage on the troll. And then the troll killed it. That's two more damage. Then I Villiard in Gwai here. He comes out from the discard pile. It's another two damage. Gets killed by the troll. Comes back to my hand. Turn. I play it. That's another two damage. Troll kills it. And then that's another two damage. Just like, it's a really fun little combos and stuff like that. Like, it's a really fun little deck. And then I ended up bouncing and doing it all again using the one where you can put Eagles into the deck. What's that guy? Yeah, where you return an eagle to your hand, you get to put that cool eagle encounter card in. I did it all again, like a couple of turns later. It was quite fun. And it didn't even cost me sources to do because of Villa. I was really excited to play Eagles again because I love playing Eagles. Played them a lot when I first started Lord of the Rings. And it's really fun to play them again.
You might have accumulated a couple more asterisks because the Descendant of Thorindor only damages stuff in the staging area, so if you chump with them, you kind of has to
hit
people in the staging area, unless you were chumping somebody else.
Yeah, chumping another attack was werewolf or something that was out. Yeah, we didn't want to fight the troll. It was like turn like two or something. But it's like there's a lot of like cool little play to do sort of with that type of deck where you're messing around.
Yeah, when Ryan and I were playing Fate of Wilderland, we're pulling for the shadow card to give an effect to kill that Descendant of Thorindor because he really wanted to get that effect. So we're like cheering when he died.
Yeah.
Give me a shadow. Yes, give me a plus one.
And to die, don't you? Yeah.
Should we move on to the next card, which is another creature that you were using on that deck?
Yeah, it's interesting because I messaged you guys. I said I wasn't like super sold on this one. I think it's just that it came out quite late, but we'll have a chat about it. It's Messenger Raven. It's an ally that costs one. He's got one willpower, zero attack, zero defense, one hit point. Creature cannot attack, defend, or have attachments. He's got a refresh action. So return Messenger Raven to his owner's hand and name a card. Choose a player to look at the top card of his deck. If that card is the named type, add it to his owner's hand. If it is not, discard it. It's a leadership card as well. So yeah, I didn't get these early. I got these pretty late. So they felt a bit rubbish. But what was quite nice about them is I was using the reaction to help the person I was playing with, Steve. I was using it to help him draw. So he was wearing an Adele deck. So he was just saying like attachment or whatever. And he was getting another card extra every time. So it's really nice that you can use its refresh action across the table. You don't have to do it on yourself. I quite appreciated that. But I could see it being pretty strong, especially with when you're manipulating the top card of your deck, so you're pretty, you know what it's going to be. That is basically an extra card every turn. But because they came out late, they didn't really do much for me and my deck. So, yeah, I wasn't super impressed with them in the game that I played them with, that they sort of came out with.
I think the times that I used it in this quest, which I was playing the Radagast with Eagles, and I had like three cards and three different types of cards in there that weren't allies, and those were the ones that always came up every time I said ally.
You were cursed for that whole quest.
I was that whole thing. Just, yeah. Ideally, it'd be great, but I was like, oh, yeah, what are the chances? Oh, I guess getting better.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
All the time.
I could see this as kind of almost like an Elven Light for Radagast. If you have cards in your hand, you just leave it on the table. You quest for one. If you need cards, you can pull this back into your hand. You have resources. If you have no cards in your hand, you can play it again, and you get Radagast quest for free. And you get this willpower, and you get to draw a card.
What about
so it gets you free willpower from Radagast, and it gets you a card, and it's really flexible.
And gives you a defender.
So what would you think about trying
a
Radagast Gandalf deck with just two heroes?
Make the Messenger of Raven real easy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think I saw someone publish that, but I haven't tried it. I don't know.
I wonder if that would work at all. The only the big downside I could see is just having less resources.
Right.
If we got a Saruman hero, we could have tire.
Yeah.
You have to put him in the deck at least, yeah. 25 starting threat, 2 wizards. Not too bad.
They'd be fighting for the wizard equipment.
Yeah, who gets the pipes? I guess you could both have pipes and both have staffs.
Yeah, it's only one per character, isn't it?
Fine.
It's an easy one to miss that once per character, though.
For some people.
To read the cards. But yeah, I do like him. I do like this guy. So refresh action, that's at the very end of the turn, isn't it? It's before the beginning of the next phase, effectively. So if you're messing around with like Wizard's Pipe, putting cards to the top of your deck, you're going to know what that card is. So it is almost guaranteed draw in the deck that Ryan has. So it's pretty solid in that. But I was quite keen on it. It was all right. Right. I think I would really like to see it come. Really appreciate it a lot more.
So who's the guy holding the Raven?
I don't know. It looks like a Rohan beard in a Gondor castle. Don't know.
I guess he'd maybe be a Gondor guy if he's in the castle. He's sending out the messenger.
I guess so. Have any more to add to this, Ryan?
I think probably Liam, it's because you got it late. You didn't see the full potential, maybe. Because the way I use it is just name ally in that deck, and if I draw something else, it goes away, and I probably don't need it. So I probably won't start triggering it until I've got Vilya, for example. Mm. And then once I've got the key cards, the three key items, I don't really care if it discards something else, because then I'll draw something better I don't want. So I really like it there. But the other good thing is it's just a chud, ultimately. So there's so many things that say discard an ally you control or do this other terrible thing. It's one cost, one willpower ally. You're breaking even, you know, when you play it. Well, you're gaining two willpower if you've got Radagast. So I really like it. The other place it could be used is a mining deck, because it's discarding the top card. You might deliberately discard it if you've got Gandalf just to get some profit, and then you'll draw something else. So generally, I like cards that filter your deck a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like this one. But I haven't used it outside of Radagast yet at all. Could also go in a swarm deck quite easily. Like anything that's buffing willpower with sword that was broken, this is one for two. So why not? And those decks tend to run a ton of allies too. So again, this could be reliable there.
And a lot of resource acceleration. So it wouldn't hurt to do it.
Yeah, get your birds out.
When you said use it as a chud, you mean just for those effects that ask you to discard an ally?
Yeah, you can't defend with it, obviously. But I mean, there's always things like that. Well, certainly recent quests, anyway. I'm thinking Harad in this cycle. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of discard an ally you control type cards.
Which will always happen to Andrew right after he puts his Eagles of the Misty Mountains out or Gildor, right?
Yeah, think of this as protection for those guys as well.
Yeah.
The next card should be a little more controversial. That's me. The King's Return. You guys ready for this one? One cost leadership event. A song. Which doesn't give it much right now. Action, search your card for your deck for a guarded attachment and put it into play. Shuffle your deck. So the guarded cards are kind of a main theme of this entire cycle for a new mechanic. A little bit controversial. Some people use them. Some people swear them off. But this makes them a little easier to use. Has anybody actually played this card yet?
I have not.
No. I'm on a guarded attachment.
The last thing you want in this encounter is more cards in the staging area.
You're in guarded rehab, Liam.
Yeah, exactly. You and Steve drove me there, like kicked me out of the car, like beeped your horn, take this man away.
You're just sitting in front of the pool with a towel on your head, looking at your guarded cards.
He's ruined five games.
Now sit down and tell me why you're not going to play guarded cards anymore.
My name's Liam and I use guarded cards.
Please get that on a t-shirt with one of the rings.
Yeah.
alongside my Merlond pole t-shirt.
I love Merlond.
The pole is conclusive.
Wait, let's not derail this episode, right. Please. Did so you say because she's hot, though?
Yeah, that's part of it. That's a big part of it.
That is not a factor we discussed in the bonus content on the last
episode. Well, I wouldn't play like Tactics Boromir because he looks so ugly. I was like, I can't deal with looking at this dude until they got like the alternate art card,
which is hard to get hold of, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've got friends like Joseph that hooked me up.
Now the right people.
Yep.
I think I put this card in a deck. It was in the Derpy Dwarves Fellowship until we cut it.
Right.
Because again, we were struggling to overcome what was in the staging area with our measly 10 willpower between six heroes. But it was quite good, I think, when we did try it one time and we put something out strategically. That's the main benefit of this, isn't it? Because it's an action.
Right.
So normally you have to eat the card before you quest, whereas now you can chuck it out. Mm-hmm. After, that's the main benefit here, or in the combat phase or something, or encounter phase, whenever you want.
Right, putting it out like during the travel phase, so you have a chance to either make it put the location active, or which you have to be careful of because you don't have an action window. But at the end of the quest phase is the best time to do it, because then you can travel to the location, or you could engage the enemy without having to face the willpower. And you know, if you have free board to face the enemy, nothing worse than playing guard attachment, getting an enemy, and then revealing three more enemies off the deck and killing yourself, right, Liam?
Yeah.
We were discussing... That's interesting. Sorry, Liam.
No, I was just going to say, it's interesting that it is an action. That really does give you a lot more sort of like scope of when to get that guard card in. That's quite important, actually.
We were discussing before about whether or not you should play a lot of different guarded cards, or should you just play one but all three copies? So build your deck around a really important card.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this card would be a way to find the one that's really important. So you could, it's a bit like running the Seeing Stone to find Legacy of Numenor, for example. Right. But then maybe this is better, three copies of this and I feel like three copies of this and three random ones, and then go and find the one mm-hmm. you want for the time.
Yeah.
But I think you could do either one. So it feels quite good. I'm still not convinced though, that you'd be able to overcome the extra card. Depending on what the quest is, I suppose.
With that action window, if you were, I mean, depending, I mean, there's a lot of ifs in there, but you know, if you're playing Haldir, you know, if you do it after the encounter phase and you get an enemy, like, you know, and you haven't had to engage anything, if you've got a way of taking them out, you've got the Great Hunt as a way to, in this one as well, is a great way to just take out a unique enemy in this non-unique enemy in the staging area. So if you do that after engagements and you've got a, you know, it's a lot of resource. I mean, there's a lot that has to happen, but
yeah,
it's
one of the hardest things about guarded cards when I found when I was that like I didn't consistently get the carded card that I wanted in my hand enough. Mm-hmm. It was more the fact that it was so random about the card that would guard it. That was the thing that would often like sort of ruin it for me, was that it's not the consistency of getting guarded cards into play. It's it's the randomness of the card that actually guards it in the end. And this doesn't do too much apart from the tricks that you guys are talking about of when to play it, which phase to play it in. Apart from that, it doesn't sort of help too much in that area.
Ryan and I bumped into an interesting interaction with these recent quests. Quest that has the deep keyword on the locations basically lets you earn the guarded cards one turn earlier, because instead of having to clear that location, you just travel to the location, you discard that location, the treasure pops off, and you replace it with that cave location.
Oh, yeah.
Which, still, if you have an urgent location you need to travel to, this doesn't help. But you do get to earn it basically a turn earlier.
I like that this is put it into play for one cost. I think all the guarded cards are one cost except Sting. Is that right?
Yeah, so, that's the best thing about this card. You can make Sting cost one instead of zero.
Oh, that's not quite what I was getting at. I was more getting at the fact that it doesn't cost you any extra. Because what this card reminds me of is the Dunedain message, I think it is, from a couple of cycles ago, where you could search your deck for a side quest, mm-hmm. and it's a leadership event, but you put it in your hand. You're right. And that wasn't even enough to play side quests back then. It wasn't really until Thurindir came out, I think, and some more side quests that they got much more popular.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there could be, there probably won't be, but there could be, in theory, a hero that lets you start with a guarded card in your hand or something, like Thurindir does. That would be a bit too strong, probably. And that might be why this is a put into play effect and not just simply put it in your hand again.
I don't know. It's kind of like giving a guy a little short sword to fall on at the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe I guess having it in your hand is strong, but if you've got it, reckon, you still need to overcome that extra card. So maybe it wouldn't be overpowered to have a hero that could do that.
I don't think so.
I think the guarded hero would be more like you get two attempts at the card that guards it. Like you can discard the first card that guards it, and you have to take the second one or something like that, or pick from the top five or something. I think it will interact with the card that's guarding it rather than interact with the guarded card itself, I think. Well, that's what I'd like to see anyway. It might be quite strong, but who would do it though? What hero would it?
Could have been Bilbo.
Could have been Bilbo.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody better than Bilbo, honestly.
Yeah, really.
Thorin, maybe?
That's true.
His craziness about the Arkenstone and treasure and stuff.
Obsession.
All right. And having to take the second one would be a little dangerous. Fun choices. I could see that. But I doubt it. It'd be cool though.
The bad thing about this is it's dead if you've already drawn your one unique guardian attachment. So maybe it is better when you've got a few different ones.
I built a deck using this and I was able to run, it's not a good idea, all the guardian attachments you want, even off sphere.
Well, all of them.
I don't think I put all of them, but I made a deck to use this and put like one of each in, which, yeah, it's not a good idea. I've kind of come around to the opinion that you shouldn't make a treasure hunting deck with all the guarded attachments or even a bunch of them. They're just a couple for flavor. If you put a bunch in and expect to get them all, your games will last like a half hour longer just to get those cards. But you can run off sphere with this. And then if you draw it, it sucks. But then if you have I have Dunedain Pipe, and then I can put it back in my deck.
So what
and
you're
then
telling
pull
me
out with this.
You need to deck build in this game.
What?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Sometimes you deck build and you put 20 cards in to do one little trick that isn't actually very powerful, so watch out.
Yeah.
Well, you
that's
do.
That's what I like to do.
Yeah.
20 pieces.
I paid for these cards. I paid money for these cards. I'm going to make them work.
Well, even Merlond.
Especially
Merlond.
I thought she was a good hero. She should work without any support, surely.
Solo Merlond deck.
Good luck, mate.
I'm going to do it now. I will, and I'll play it. So that, you know, the hard thing, you know, we've all experienced, I'm sure, playing with especially four or more people is somebody's always taking the good cards. So I've started building like trolling decks. Like, fine. If you're gonna take Steward of Gondor and Glorfindel Spirit and, you know,
Merlond.
No, then I'm gonna play solo Merlond, or I'm gonna play all spirit hobbits.
He did that to us actually. He played Fatty
and Pippin.
Frodo or Mary?
Mary. I did Spirit Mary to keep my threat down, so I never had to engage anything, but everybody else had to engage everything. So I'm like, all right, you're going to take all the good cards. I'm going to play all the crappiest cards I can find.
And all the guarded cards.
Yeah. So I'm going to build an all-guarded deck next time.
Would that include parting gifts?
This is what I have to deal with, Ryan. Yeah.
Troll decks.
All right, should we move on to Loyal Hound?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so we have Loyal Hound, ally. Fear is lore, cost 2. And then, you know, with Radagast Staff, you don't run into any mismatch since it's lore. Willpower 1, attack 2, defense 0, 2 hit points. He's a creature, cannot have attachment, so he can't be riding horses.
Boom.
Unlike the eagles. Response, discard Loyal Hound to cancel up to 2 damage just dealt to a hero you control. I get any hero. Oh, that's pretty good. Not just Radagast. So, I mean, he could be a lifesaver. Plus 2 attack. I mean, that's not the worst.
Especially in lore.
Yeah. If you're building a creature deck, he's a decent creature. I say.
He works for Hero Baelorn as well, right?
He does.
Yeah.
Is there a way you can recur this guy like every turn for Baelorn?
A couple times you can do...
Stand and Fight.
Yeah. I love Stand and Fight. That's one of my favorites, I think.
I don't use it very much. I've used it for a long time.
I used to, especially to play off-sphere allies early on with Aowen to discard them. So that's what would get me... what's his face? The Rowan. Gleowine in a spirit leadership deck.
Corset days.
Yeah. I'm a dog person. We have 2 dogs.
2 loyal hounds.
That's right. If we if they came out with a cat card, I probably just wouldn't play it on principle.
I don't think there is such a thing as a loyal cat anyway.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I quite like this card. I found that it was questing for 1 quite a lot. Because in the Eagles deck, you have a lot of, the Eagles are often 3 attack. There's often a whole swarm of them. So, you're not really hurting for damage very often. So the 2 attack is nice, but in the Eagles deck that I played the Loyal Hound in, it wasn't really sort of needed, the 2 attack. Like, every now and then, it'd be good to get an attack with him. So I found he was questing for 1 a lot. But what I really like is the response is that kind of, so something really bad has happened type of response. Yeah, it's strong. I kind of wish the response was for any hero. I wish across the table, but it's a hero you control.
It's only loyal to your heroes.
Yeah, it's just loyal to you. And I wish it was across the table as well, but I kind of understand why it isn't. I didn't find that I ever had to use it, to be honest, but it was nice having it on the table, knowing that it could be used. Like, Radagast was on 1 health, so before he got the Burning Brand, it was a bit dodgy at times, but it was nice having the Loyal Hounds there, just in case. And once he's got Burning Brand, then you know exactly how much damage he's going to be taking, so you could potentially use Loyal Hounds to take him.
You know what? It would be awesome. I want to use him in Peril in Peller Gear, and be like, oh, I brought my dog into the bar. and then he can quest for two for battle questing.
Oh yeah, he's a battle
true,
quester.
That's true. But yeah, I don't know if I'd want 3 of him necessarily.
I found I cut 1, like I said earlier, in the end, because I found exactly the same as you. They were questing for 1, which is fine.
I appreciate how he has 2 hit points. It seems like a lot of the 2 cost allies recently, where they often had 1 hit point before, they have 2. And I think it'd be reasonable to have 1 hit point on a dog, but it's nice to have that security of not getting killed by blanket damage or being able to soak a point of archery. It's a solid ally.
And you don't mind putting a bit of damage on him, because if you do have the usual response, then that's even better. It's like it saved you an additional damage on that. But the thing I like most about him is that his response doesn't require him to exhaust.
He's not a Rohan dog, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't need to pay 4 for it as well, and then exhaust it, and some other things.
Discard him after he commits to a quest.
And have no stats.
The bitterness.
The loyal lemming.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's important that his response doesn't require an exhaust. A response like that, you should not have to exhaust the card, because you can't just pay 2 for a card just to sit there for that what-if moment. You need to be able to use their stats as well.
Yeah.
It already costs you, doesn't it? So why should you have to? That's the problem with those Riddermark's Finest, is you always have to hold them back. So their mighty 1 willpower doesn't do anything. They would be much better if you didn't need to exhaust them. I think it's fair, because it is 2 progress on any location, but this guy is... he's learned from the mistakes of the finest. It's not a very good name for them, really, is it? The Riddermark's lamest might be.
Yeah.
There you go. The lame horses.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
Now, Strain, Shadow of the Past. for my thematic campaign recently. I had two of these out on Former Maggot. Felt great.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
Rip and Fang, is that what their names are?
I think they might be, yeah.
I didn't do anything with them, really, but I had to have them there for the theme.
You took a picture, though, right?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen it on my Twitter? You check that every day, right?
Oh, yeah, daily. In fact, you're the only person I follow.
There we go.
Not hourly.
I've got it set on push notification.
There we go. But Lore gets a big card next, right?
This is me. Oh, yeah, this is a big card. So this is the one I was hinting at on the last episode where I was talking about niche cards. So let me read it first before we get into that. So this is the Great Hunt. It is the Lore event. 3 cost. You must use resources from 3 different heroes' pools to pay for this card. And it's a combat action. Choose and discard a non-unique enemy in the staging area. So the first thing to say is this is an absolute bomb. And the reason I was talking about niche cards last time is because when this was posted up in the Facebook group, people were putting a lot of sad faces on it and saying it was too niche to see play. But yet people seem to love Merlond, so I don't see why you wouldn't be playing this. If Merlond is so great, here's another reason to play Merlond. But second of all, this is just so amazing. I don't know how anybody can sad face this. Because like if a card for a Hobbit deck gets a love and a like, why can't a card for a Mono Lore deck get a love? And I just think this is such a good card. Because it can blow up all kinds of horrible things.
Decks very much.
Yeah, I know why.
Because they haven't listened to our episode about Mono.
No, it's because Merlond's so popular that when you turn up to a 4-player game, you couldn't possibly place her down because somebody else is already doing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
On a more serious note, though, there's so many targets for this. I mean, yeah, okay, you need to play Mono Lore, fine. But it gives that Mono Lore deck something to actually do in the combat phase because it doesn't have the characters to do anything, really, other than chump block. you're going to be contributing to the team in a different way, as well as cancelling encounter cards. You're going to be discarding ships. You're going to be discarding Moomax. You're going to be discarding Wraiths on Wings in a campaign. There's all sorts of stuff. Yeah, those Wraiths on Wings, just terrible, terrible cards.
So I'm glad you said Moomax as well.
This would work with the staff, right?
Yeah, so you can bounce some horrible creature back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what you meant. Yeah. What staff? I get it now, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you can return Ungoliant Spawn in Nightmare Passage Through Mirkwood back to the station area and just sack it off with this.
See you, son.
So I really like it.
I have to say the designers of this game consider the Great Hunt more important than the designers of Journeys in Middle Earth. In 2 scenarios now, Legolas has come across the White Hart and hunted it and caught it, and then like you feel good about yourself, get 1 inspiration, which is like the basic commodity of the game.
Yeah,
it's like a total nothing.
Use 5 to get it.
I know. This is much better.
Interestingly, it doesn't actually have to be deck. The way it's worded, you could in theory have 2 lore heroes and then give another one like a song or something who would give it lore resources, or you know, any other way that you can get like a resource icon on a hero. So
it doesn't have to be top of a Gandalf deck.
But
Good Harvest.
But I mean Good Harvest as well. That's the it's more likely to be played in, or it feels like that's what it's supposed to be. I was thinking it might be quite nice in trap decks as well. Like often you have quite low engagement threat, so something big comes out, it's likely that it might be in the staging area for a while. And then you could hunt it down, trap all of its mates, and then hunt the big thing. Quite cool.
So there's you play your leadership 1 to get your guarded card, right? You throw that down, and then you play this to take out
during the combat
phase. Guarded enemy thing. You take this to get rid of the enemy that's guarding it, and then you're not dealing with an extra guarded card.
Yeah.
Extra guarded card basically costs 4 resources, so I have to balance if that's worth it.
Yeah.
But it can be. But yeah, there's so many big enemies, and most of them have high engagement cost, and a deck that has 3 lore heroes is usually low. So this,
especially if you have Merlond, who's dropping you down by 3.
Yeah, good thing we have Merlond in the card pool. Yeah.
Indeed. And we did exactly that against City of Corsairs, and this sped up our win. because you have to kill all the enemies. Yeah. And when you kill them, it gives the tokens to Sahir. So we just discarded a couple of them with this. And that probably saved us a turn or two.
Nice.
Right.
Which is good when you're playing with Joseph, because he likes to run lots of cards that extend the game, like side quests and guarded and all sorts.
I don't think I played any guarded cards. Yeah, this is great. Should solid mention card. That you can't use any resource reduction or cost reduction or Ophelia or any tricks at all to get it in play, because you have to use resources from three different heroes pools.
That does make it slightly difficult to manage for that secrecy deck, because leaf brooches were in there. And so you need to play something before you play this, some other event, because otherwise you can't actually play it.
Gain secrecy, so you can't pay three.
Weird. It's weird, but that is a consideration. I actually cut the leaf brooches in the end, I think. I think I did that. I also cut Daron's runes. I've only got one copy of Daron's runes in my mini collection here.
That's weird.
The person who sold it to me missed out some cards. Like, there's one copy of Daron's runes, there's a copy of We Do Not Sleep missing or something. Not that everyone's any, you know, that's never going to see any play anyway, but it's just some random stuff.
You could probably work out his last deck that you
Yeah, probably. What are the bits that are missing? It's only about six cards.
Did you buy them from Clay? Because I've got a bunch of his cards at my house.
I remember that there's the Longbeard Map Maker is missing as well or something. No wonder this guy sold it.
Yeah.
This deck must have been terrible.
Three We Do Not Sleep.
Yeah. I think it's that card. That's the Rohan Exhausty thing. Five cost spirit.
Two Daron's runes instead of three.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, what's the next card?
I believe it's me, yeah. It's the Bywater Sheriff. He is a hobbit and a sheriff. What?
Sheriff.
Is that a keyword that we've ever seen before? Can't be right.
That's your free people's gold right there.
Mm.
He is a neutral. No, he's not. He's tactics. Right, yeah. He's tactics. He costs two. He's got one willpower, one attack, one defense, and two hit points. And he gets plus one willpower, attack, and defense while you're engaged with an enemy with an engagement cost higher than your threat. Which is quite, you know, keys into a lot of Hobbit stuff that does engaging enemies that have a higher threat. Often lots of good things happen if you're running hobbits and you do that, and this guy just sort of plays into that a bit more. I think you just, you know, get a few, he's going to get a buff in all his stats while you're engaged with him,
and more Tomb's hobbit allies to be able to draw. I think that's a good thing. From what's the card that lets you search for the top 10 cards or 5 cards for a hobbit can be a little problematic because there aren't that many hobbit allies,
and they're
yet.
All pretty bad.
So, you know, more of this is better.
I tried to build a Hobbit deck recently with all these little allies, and I called it Lame Hobbits, and that's what it is.
Oh dear.
You just don't know how to play the game.
I do not know how to play the game.
I feel like this is the kind of card you would like, Andrew.
I like this card.
Yes.
I'm going to play it in my Merlon deck.
Whoa. Not sure that's advisable.
No, I think this is a good card too. I just don't know if all the pieces are there for the Tom Cotton style of Hobbit deck.
The mythical Tom Cotton deck.
Right.
But they're coming together. I mean, this is another piece. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, a really good piece. He can quest for two if you keep an enemy around, which is a bit dangerous.
Mm.
But just two cost for how many stats? Eight stats? It's pretty good.
They're a bit spread out, though, aren't they?
I think one of my favorite things to do is the small target. If I can get that to work, I feel amazing.
Mm, I've been there.
So
it's fun.
Yeah.
I feel like this guy is going to work really well with the stray goblins, because I was fighting those all day. And sometimes they're 50 engagement costs, by the way. So I just kept them engaged a lot of the time because they keep surging and you're cycling the encounter deck when you've got three and four players. And I thought, well, I'll just leave this guy here. And one of those is really easy to defend. So that's really what that Tom Cotton deck needs to do, is follow the stray goblins around. Just keep one of those out.
Yeah, in our play of Fate of Wilderland, we had cleared Keep Watch, so those stray goblins were one attack.
Mm.
Oh, no, we hadn't done that. I had it in a Entangling Nets. I was playing a Haldir deck, and I ended up getting engaged with a stray goblin and another enemy. I killed it, but I had this stray goblin attacking me for zero every turn, undefended, waiting for some nasty shadow to get me, because I couldn't afford to let anybody else defend him. But yeah, that stray goblin would keep this guy happy.
This guy could even defend him.
Yep.
Yeah. Which would be kind of counterproductive to have a guy out to get buff so he can defend the guy you have out. But
well, it turns on Tom Cotton's ability, doesn't it?
That's true.
What's the one in the resource match for Hobbits or something?
Yeah.
You can tell I've played Tom Cotton a lot. And this guy is hitting for 4 when he comes into play with Tom Cotton.
That's a lot. That's pretty good.
That is a lot for a 2-cost Hobbit.
For any Hobbit. Besides Mary. I'm eager to play the deck when we get a couple more pieces, but still struggling to make it work right now. But he certainly has potential.
The problem I've had with that deck is willpower, because so many of these little allies are just one. And right. Just don't ramp at all.
You have this swarm of lame guys. You kind of need to do the Sylvan trick to make them actually do very much. Mm. But you don't want just Sylvan Hobbits. It's kind of boring. And they're expensive. It's a trick. But I guess you could get your heroes pretty stout, but then you have to fill your deck with attachments, and you can't play ally. So, I don't know.
Do you reckon that's his loyal hound that he's about to slay?
I think that's Saruman's loyal hound.
the two cards, loyal hound and I'm sure if they've got pretty similar artwork, but very different.
Yeah. Similar perspective, yeah. Should we move on?
Yes.
To Gwahir's Debt. We have a 1-cost tactics event. A lot of text. And it has a pretty great piece of art there with a funny-looking eagle. Play only if you control a unique character with the Istari trait and another unique character with the eagle trait. Action. Search the top 5 cards of your deck for an eagle or Istari ally and put it into play. Shuffle your deck. At the end of the round, if that ally is still in play, return it to your hand.
You didn't read it properly. You missed out the typo.
I read the Hall of Beorn.
Oh, right. Because on the card itself it says, and another unique character. Too many A's.
Oops. So this is a powerful effect. You could get a big, huge ally like Gwahir, which would be pretty cool because you could trigger his effect. Or a Landerval you could use, but that would be hard to time. Or you could get a Gandalf. Or even a Saruman if you were feeling weird. But the difficult part is setting it up with that unique eagle and Istari.
So you basically want to get the Descendant of Thorondor again with this thing.
Or Gandalf.
Or Gwahir himself.
Yeah.
But Gwahir is one of the, probably one of the, I guess Menaldor is the easiest eagle to get in play that's unique, right? Mm-hmm. But getting, you can start with Radagast in play, but you can't start with any unique eagles in play.
Do you reckon they'll ever have a unique eagle hero? I really hope they do.
I wasn't sure, but this card makes me more sure they will. But maybe that's just a vain hope.
It could be Gwaihir as well. It could be Landreville as well. Be a good one to not
have. None of those eagles seem to look very happy that Gandalf's hanging out there. They're all kind of like, "Get! What are you doing?
Get out of here, Gandalf. We just smoke.
Like a hobbit to us. Look how small he is.
Big eagles.
Plus he's smoking. He's like... They're like, dude, these nests are made of wood. What are you doing?
Is that why the derp one's looking at him like on that angle, like trying to figure, what are you doing here?
He looks like, the art looks like, you know, I can't, my brain's like, there's a storybook about like, maybe it's like Where the Wild Things Are or something like that. It looks like one of the monsters from that.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty great. I had it in a couple decks. I took it out because I was drawing it before I got a unique eagle out, and I wasn't really putting Gandalf in that deck anyway, so I haven't found a happy place for it yet, but it feels like it could be really powerful if you set it up right.
Anybody else played it?
No, it wasn't in the deck that you made, Ryan, so I didn't put it in. But I could see it kind of being quite interesting, though, because when you return them to your hand as well, they often get better. You could target for that. So there's nice little combos in there.
It's better than Return to the Eyrie.
That's a low bar to jump.
Haven't tried this one, right?
I did have one copy. I had a cheeky one of in there, and unfortunately that was too many copies, it turned out, because it is sometimes a dead card, because it really, you can't do anything with it until that unique eagle shows up. And even when I had it, like, if you do get Gandalf, it's really cool, but often I'd get Eagles of the Misty Mountains, and I actually want them to stay in play. So it was just underwhelming in the end. I hope it will get better in future, though.
Yeah,
don't go too down on it, because it is quite a fun effect when it goes off and you get Gwaihir and Gandalf, you know, or some other thing.
I guess you could use the, if you're using Radagast with a Wizard Pipe, you could put a Gandalf from your hand on top of your deck and then play it with confidence. That would be pretty good.
Yep.
No, that's why he's smoking there.
Right. Got to use the pipe.
You got to use the Wizard's Pipe.
That was the clue for the players.
I also wondered if this is half of an artwork and so there's something else coming out about Eagles, because I don't know where that golden light's coming from. You'd imagine that might be Gwaihir's crown or something. And what is Gandalf pointing at?
It's golden pipe radiating beauty, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're joking, aren't you?
Yeah.
Just to clarify for all the Brazilian listeners out there.
What is he? It looks like he's kind of like got a wand in his hand and he's like something. Yeah, it looks like some kind of like weird shadow monsters kind of dripping off of it. Like,
is he instructing Gwaihir, and Gwaihir's off on the right side of this artwork, and that's the Gwaihir hero art.
Yeah. You know, maybe the instructions is giving him a really weird, like that eagle's there looking at him like, huh?
Perhaps that's a bit of old Toby in the pipe as well.
I can't even tell if it's a pipe. It looks like he's pouring a vial or a jug of something over a stick in his hand.
Yeah. Classic Gandalf. There is a part in The Hobbit where he hangs out with the eagle, isn't there? Like they go up in the book, in the Hobbit book, I'm pretty sure, before they go to see the eagles take them to Beorn.
Yeah.
Right. Eagles save them off the burning trees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Nests and stuff.
But I can't remember them doing anything in particular. I'm just like,
chemistry experience, Maris?
No. No.
Well, we picked it apart enough, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad card. It's just one of those ones that will sit in hand.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to optimize decks, you probably end up taking it out.
That Eagles deck
works, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And that deck, Ryan, that you actually, it's quite tight. Like when I was trying to make tweaks to it, it's really hard to decide. It's not an easy deck to. I think I've played with 51 cards in the end, because I was just going to be bothered to keep thinking of what to take out.
It's also a Vilya deck, and that is not a card you want to Vilya, really.
No.
It's a card that's going to end up on the bottom more often than not. I want to hit some 5-cost ally. I don't want to hit this. So I don't think it belongs in that deck, ultimately.
At least it's end of the round. If you Vilya'd and got an eagle out, at least it wouldn't return to your hand during the planning phase or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's if it triggers. I was sort of thinking, if I Vilya this and I don't have the unique eagle, then it's a complete whiff and I've exhausted it.
First turn Vilya.
Yeah, and I've done that before. You've seen that turn games, right? Yeah. You get the Gandalf, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really fun. But if you get Gwaihir's deck, that's not fun.
Gwaihir's deck could turn into a Gandalf.
Not until
turn one.
No. Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Mithril shirt.
Attachment, spirit, cost 1. Artifact, item, armor, guarded location, attached to a hero. When attached to heroes, dealt any amount of damage, reduce that damage by 1.
Don't sound impressed.
Thinking about it.
Oh, I like this card. I've had good experiences so far.
So is something with this, what I'm wondering about is like the, so can you play like guarded armor stuff with the Gondor Forge guy?
If you do, it will get guarded still.
It still gets guarded?
Caleb has made it pretty clear that there's no way you can get around the guarded keyword. Even if you like used well-equipped to throw it off the top of your deck onto a hero, it would attach and then immediately detach and go back to the staging area with the guarded.
Yeah, but I find that he doesn't really know how the game works most of the time. I find most of his opinions to be completely wrong.
Good. He's talked about people like you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at FFG, where they're listening to this episode.
Yeah.
He's there, like, furiously typing up a new card, and that's where the typos come. He's
as, like, they, as they furiously errata seven of our favorite cards.
Yeah. Like, go ahead and tell us your favorite cards, Andrew, so he can wreck them for you.
So you want to see how the game works, do you? Right.
Melond. Gone.
Melond and Wandering Tux.
Melond is now naught per deck. Oh, what a shame. She's also restricted.
Restricted Melond. What does that mean?
It means she's more unplayable than she was before.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, this Melond thing is derailing so many threads today. So I blame it all on you. It's not good.
I don't know. I mean, is this the you know, the helm? Yeah, I'm still, I mean, I'm on the fence with some of the guarded stuff. I like the idea, but it's, you know, it kind of makes it a little rough.
Mm.
What do you think of the restriction to a location rather than an enemy?
That's what, great. Did the dwarves bury it, like, under a tree?
Well, not thematically, but they found it in a cave.
No, I guess so. Did they?
Yeah.
I mean, they made it for Bilbo, and then he gave it to Frodo.
Oh, they didn't make it.
It should be guarded by a hobbit. It should be guarded by the next hobbit ally that you put into play. And then when that hobbit ally dies, then you can get it.
Now it really derailed. The mithril shirt came from Erebor, the Smaug's horde, right?
Yeah.
Did it?
I think so. They got Sting, Orcrist, and Glamdring from the troll cave. And I think that the mithril shirt came later.
Yeah, the shirt was a gift to.
Yeah, I thought it was a gift.
Bilbo from Thorin.
Right. I thought it was from Elrond.
Kingly gift.
Right, king of gift. I remember that phrase.
It was part of the. When they were walking around with all their pimp armor after they got treasure, and they just got like, was hanging up, pure double plate stuff, like, listening to rap music and stuff. And then Dale's knocking, oh, hi guys, can we have us? Like, no.
So, and the other thing, I mean, it being unique, is there only one mithril shirt in all of Middle Earth?
All of the books, there's only one. They make a big deal about it, mithril being super duper valuable and rare.
Yeah, but I mean, was there only one ever? I mean, it's, you know.
You want to play three of these in turn one, don't you?
It should be like, yeah, it should be like Bilbo's mithril shirt or something, like, to make it. It's like just, it's a.
That's true.
You know.
Whose was it?
You find that cool shirt at Target and then you buy it and then you go somewhere and you're like, oh, there's five people here with the same Captain America shirt that I have.
Bilbo shows up and all the dwarves are wearing the mithril shirt.
I mean, you know,
right? On Bomber recently, so it's pretty stretchy, apparently.
Yeah, it's surprising who can fit into that.
That's right.
But I think the fact that it's guarded by location is good. I think that's how. I actually think that's how guarded cards should be. Really, it should cut down on that randomness by telling you at least the type of card that will be guarding it. I mean, you can plan for that. You can set things in motion that will allow you to get that back.
Yeah.
Locations are difficult, though, I find, for guarded cards, because enemies are, you know, you're more likely to have to deal with an enemy. Locations, you can sometimes get it on a location that you'll just never travel to. You'll never explore it.
Especially if you're playing multiplayer games.
Yes, Lost in Mirkwood in particular, Liam.
Yeah. Yeah, you just lose all your guarded stuff. You pay for it, you take the card, and you never get your stuff.
I mean, if they're going on location, then, you know, that makes What's-His-Face a little more workable.
Oh, yeah, What's-His-Face.
What's the hero's name?
Haldan.
Yeah, so he doesn't exhaust the quest with, if you're posting on a guard, you know.
What's that card, Joe, that you suggested for just straight away getting rid of a location and getting the guarded card back?
Rittermark's Finest.
Well, I was talking about the quests that have the deep locations, because you discard that location when you travel to it.
No, but you mentioned one last time. Switch the location for another. It basically gets rid of the guarded card.
Mariner's Compass. It doesn't really help your board state, because you have to get a new location, although you can select it. But you can easily just swap out the old location, guarding the card, for a new location and get your treasure. You could also use things like What's that Noldor Dunedain event that discards a location?
Heirs of Rivendell.
Yeah. Or you could use the Mirkwood Not the Explorer. That's Buzz's favorite. That's the Mirkwood Pioneer. No, Mirkwood Explorer is the good one. The Pioneer is the not so good one. You could just dump progress on a location from him.
Yeah, and then those attachments let you, you know, lower the cost of what some of those outlets with Mind Allies.
Yeah, but the question is it worth anything?
How I was going like to say, we didn't really talk about the actual response yet.
Right.
Because in the games where I got it on Bomber, it did soak up quite a lot of damage. And it can soak up one in the quest phase and then one in the combat phase, because there's a lot of cards that dump out damage.
Any amount of damage.
Yeah. So there's some card in the Withered Heath that was putting out a lot of damage. I think it's like,
treachery.
Yeah, you have to deal the damage to each character or exhaust it.
Right. Then there's the shadow card that deals one damage to the defending character.
Mm,
then there's the spider that if he gets damaged, you can't ready. So each time this could help.
Yeah.
It was very good in that quest in particular.
It'd be good with some archery too, I suppose.
Mm. I was just wondering, is archery damage dealt as well? Because would this negate all archery damage?
No. Archery is really weirdly worded. It doesn't. Although there is a crazy combination that you can abuse to do that. A Vigilant Guard card attached to a warrior character, limit once per character attached here gets plus 2 hit points. And then when another character would be assigned any amount of damage, place one of that damage on attached character instead. So you put this and the Mithril Shirt, then you can pepper archery everywhere, and then you can just all direct it to the Mithril Shirt, and it will all just bounce off.
Yep.
There are rocks.
Because it's like he's running around with the shirt, just jumping in front of the arrows, and they're just pinging off.
Vigilant Guard and Lightning Speed.
Yeah, aren't they that? Sorry, Liam.
Yeah, they are. Okay. You're going to limit one of them. I think limit the Vigilant Guard to 3 times or something. But yeah, nobody really wants to do that, but it is an abusable combination.
Yeah, you don't really want to ratty your new card, do you? Or a rat.
And I don't think this is overly strong to start with.
You don't want another Sigil Minor situation.
To rat it the next day.
Yeah.
That happened.
I'll be on.
Yeah. I don't know. I think about it was even faster. It was really fast.
On that Blue Mountain Trader, that one immediately got errated after they released it.
Wow.
Sounds like Destiny. That game had so many day ones.
Wow.
But
we're not playing Game of Thrones here, people.
This response, though, is like a proper classic like mechanic, isn't it? Juice damage or damage by one. Like, you find that in like loads of games. It's like a proper classic mechanic, and it's deceptive. It doesn't seem like super strong, but it's really deceptive. It really adds up over the course of a game. Like, it really does make whoever is wearing this Mithril shirt a whole lot tankier than you would give credit for by just reducing by one. It's also really good that it's not got like a sort of a maximum. It's not saying reduce by damage by one to a minimum or something like that. It can literally negate the damage.
Yeah.
That's what makes it quite strong, in my opinion. Is whenever that character is going to take damage, it's always going to help.
Yeah, limitless. So if you've got this on a readying defender,
yeah,
like it doesn't matter. Yeah,
vigilant
up 3 times. Mm-hmm.
Attached to a hero. Never mind.
I really like that it's not restricted as well.
Yep.
And I think that's thematically appropriate since Frodo was wearing this and nobody even knew it. Okay, so light. All the other armor attachments or weapon attachments and guard attachments are restricted.
Well, because you can only have one in play, so it's not like you're going to be peppering people with mithril.
Yeah, shirts. But you can still run 2 more pieces of armor on top of this.
Yeah.
Is this good on Spirit Frodo? I'm just trying to think of how his ability would work with this. Because you could trigger this before you trigger his ability, couldn't you?
Yeah. So you take one less threat increase.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool. And it's very thematic, isn't it?
I was actually going to say it's good on that Defendi Saga Frodo, but it's not, I think, because that one you cancel all the damage and raise your threat. You know the one nobody ever uses?
Right.
Yeah,
this is where you tell me. I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. That's good. Let's go.
Damn, Mulan. They work so well together.
Do they? I guess.
No. Nothing works out. I'm glad it works on Spirit of Freddy, though.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's nice.
His only thing is, like, he can only do that, right, once a round?
Mm, yeah.
Per phase.
Frodo?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm going to look him up. I always run him with Arwen, though. So he's essentially three defense, and now he's kind of four, so he's not really actually going to be shooting your threat up that much, and he's a bit more reliable.
Actually, he's a good... Liam and I were talking earlier about... I was talking at Liam about Lore Bilbo Hero is one of my favorites to run solo, because he really, you really getting that extra card draw with fast hitches. With, and if you get Arwen and then you get that on him just because he's easily squishy, but with a couple of fast hitches and that and a couple, you know, something else's, like, he's a pretty sweet defender once you get him kind of loaded up.
Diligent Noble Ancestral Armor Burning Brand.
Yep. Or just a couple. Usually I put just either to, like, Protector of Lorien, if I can get to him, a couple of like Dunedain signals.
With a little work, he can become a defender. Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten him to the point where he's, you know, he's questing, attacking, and defending. Like, he's loaded up because he's, you know, he adds three more readying with the fast hitches. So usually I'm running that him, the Lore Aragorn, and then Spirit Glorfindel. That's kind of my power solo deck. So you get that extra lore stuff because you can get Glorfindel's horse on him and reset your threat if you end up, you know, jacking up. You can play the Hobbit Gandalf for a while.
I played that deck and put it on my blog. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. So
until I ran out of cards the third time through the deck or something crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that sure could work well on him if you're running. He's good with one or two players. If he's, I think, you get more than that, his ability kind of becomes less. But being able to draw two cards guaranteed every turn playing solo is a huge help.
Yeah.
Mm. What's quite nice about this shirt as well is because it's guided by a location, there's a good chance that you'll be able to deal with the location. Do you know what I mean? It's in the right sphere. You know, you're going to be having a deck that's going to struggle to quest or, you know, manipulate the locations in any way. That's, it's the right place for it.
Yeah.
Just nuke it with Asphaloth two turns.
Yep.
Very nice. So, any other heroes?
You know who can ride Asphaloth? Would be Merlan. Right. She can use him.
Yeah.
I mean, only for one. She's the seven.
Sweet Limbus.
So, but, who are the good targets for this?
Hobbits. You know,
they kind of are. Yeah.
Everybody.
Spirit Beregond?
Yep.
That would let him trigger his response more, but he's pretty stout as he is. But it would help. Yeah.
The thing is, it's close to being like one of my favorite guarded cards because I like the fact that it tells you which type of card will be guarding it. And I think the response is strong. But I do wonder, like, is it strong enough to be a guarded card? Like, that reduced damage by... Is that strong enough to be guarded? Would you want to trade... Is that trade-off worth it? I'm not 100% sure if I'm...
Well, like, I mean, I think, like you guys were saying, there's a lot of quests that do... That dole out, like, damage one at a time, like, a lot. So that's a good... Depending on the quest, I suppose.
Sideboard kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think if it's just on your defender, it might not be worth it all the time. Sure. But if have quests with consistent direct damage during the quest phase, this helps a lot. It's kind of a better version of the Ranger Cloak, and we all like that, right?
Mm. Weather Stain Cloak?
Yeah.
I mean, the worst card in the game. Probably one of the worst cards in the game, I would say.
This is a lot better than that.
Yeah, this is
you know what? Early on, it was what you know the death of was you know Necromancer's Reach with Eowyn.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, it'd be great to save her from getting killed right away in the game.
I'm just looking through some heroes now. There's quite a lot of defenders I would want to put this on, sort of turn them into four. Yeah, this can go on Treebeard. As well as not that it'll help you with his ability, but it will help you defend with him.
He can fit around the shirt can fit around a tree, but not around Beorn.
That seems weird.
Why won't it help with his ability? How come it won't help with his ability?
Because you don't get the bonus if you cancel the effect. So if you cancel the damage dealt to him, you won't get the buff, basically.
Hey, does it say that on his card?
No, it's just a rule.
Deep in the FAQ, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bedtime reading for you.
Yeah, right. I'm still getting my head around, so maybe I'll get there eventually.
Fast Dread is the other one I was going to say with this card. It's a good target. No. Good old Fast Dread. Love a bit of Fast Dread.
But he's squishy. This will help.
He is, yeah. And so this will help. And I think that deck runs a reasonable amount of willpower, so I could see it clearing a location, depending on the quest.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think this works better on mid-tier defenders, because the god-tier defenders...
They don't need it.
Yeah, it's just like whatever, isn't it? But the mid-tier defenders where, you know, you've got three armor.
People like that. Generally.
Yeah, I think it'll work well. If, like, you know, even someone like Radagast... Wait, did you say Gimli?
I thought you were going to say Melond. Sorry.
No.
It's like a disease now. Every card I'm like...
It's going to get PTSD.
I mean, to be fair, it is good on Melond because she can defend now.
There you go. You're getting the disease.
But like Radagast is mid.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, anyone with three is like, okay, I can defend a bit. I'm quite light at defending, but I'm not going to be defending all game, and I'm not going to be defending every attack. But something like this can really help types of
also, guys. Why does it need to be a defense? It could easily be an undefended.
That's true.
I took one of those today and nearly died. So can happen. So just put an undefended on your defender, and it's now a one attack undefended, say, from those little goblins.
Yeah.
This with bats. Keep watch, in fact. You mentioned that earlier. Yeah, those bats, they'll do no damage. And if they do one, you'll just cancel it.
You could take several undefenders and they would get block each one.
Glowing.
Yeah, I thought about that. Glowing. But then you're just blocking cash.
I know.
But like, money, please.
Now you can take the 5 attack hit that will kill him, but it turns out it's 4.
It's a little safety.
3 resources that you can then give away with parting gifts.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, Mike Bokey, he played a glowing deck. I had never seen one really in action. It's pretty impressive. Although we had no parting gifts, so I'm not impressed anymore.
I need some refinement.
Sure.
We should really move on.
Yeah, we should. Long time. Last card in the pack, since we already did Radagast Staff.
Yes, it's me. It is Reforged. It is an X-cost spirit event. And it says, action, choose an attachment with a printed cost of X in any player's discard pile and play that attachment for no cost. The chosen attachment can belong to any sphere of influence. So we discussed Stand and Fight earlier, and really this is kind of Stand and Fight for attachments, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Pretty good. I've seen so far. What I've seen looks good. I mean, there's two things you can get in. One is Steward of Gondor, and that seems to be what everybody's doing.
Boring.
The other one I like the look of is Sword That Was Broken.
I like that. And that's way thematic, too.
So that one is not one I've explored yet, but I like the idea of it, because now you can put that on Lore Aragorn and you don't need to do too many weird stuff, because you're probably playing a spirit. Too many weird things, sorry. Because you're probably playing Spirit Arwen or Frodo or somebody anyway. Glorfindel, who knows?
Yeah, that works great with if you're doing Hero Arwen with a different version of Aragorn, because you can get resources on Arwen faster. Put the sword on him. That's perfect.
I feel like I got you excited about a deck.
I am excited now.
Oh, good. That's what we want.
Yeah, everybody's just freaking out about Steward of Gondor, but just more way to cheat Steward of Gondor in don't really interest me. Grow up. Stop playing Steward of Gondor.
You're in that phase, huh? You're in the Steward hipster phase.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm past that. I've been through rehab. I'm fine with it now.
I've only played Steward of Gondor in one of my decks for the whole Saga campaign so far.
Has anybody else played this?
No, I haven't. No, it's
fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say this might work well in your Bilbo deck. Would you
if
play
you're discarding stuff to Protector of Lorien? Yep.
And then you can go,
There's a lot of quests that discard attachments off your characters. Right. Shadow cards do that. And this is just a way to get those back. I kind of really like that. And that's probably... I don't know. I feel like that's the way it was what it was designed to primarily be, but it has all these other applications too with a Noldor deck. If you discard a card you need and can't play, you can pull it back.
Now you can do self-preservation if you're not running a lore deck.
Yeah, that's true. That's healing for spirit, which they have none except for this mithril shirt.
Can you use this on zero cost stuff?
I think so.
Yeah. There didn't seem to be any reason why, reading it again, it just says cost X for no cost. So
yeah,
there's a lot of zero cost attachments out there. Get your crown back.
Get your, what is that? Explorer's Almanac over and over again.
Oh, yeah. That'll be you.
Yeah.
I saw a deck on RingsDB the
other day. Forget Steward of Gondor. Let me get these zero cost rubbish attachments back.
The two decks that I thought it'd be quite nice in is Noldor. The other one is like mining as well. Like if you're dwarf decks will have a lot of really nice attachments, and if you accidentally discard, then this can help. There's a lot of interesting scope in the fact that you can even. I nearly said opponents. Then no, kind of shows how the game. You're looking at attachments in their discard pile. Play those. Am I reading it right in saying that even if you were to pick attachment in their discard pile, it still can only be played at your side of the board? So it says, and you play that. No, you can play it anywhere, right? You can play it across.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. You can help people out. You can make like a support deck. You know, you guys were talking about having a deck that just had loads of attachments where you were just like supporting someone else, like almost like an armory deck. This would be quite an interesting card. I don't know.
Seems like lots of uses for it. I think that Sword That Was Broken is the most inspiring one for me so far. But it seems like something that's easy to cut to unless you have a really specific combo that you need to happen or a really specific card that's out of sphere.
Yeah, I think it'd be an easy one to throw in thinking that you'll need it. And then you might draw it before you've actually drawn something good to get back with it.
Right.
You also need a way to get it in the discard pile, which not all decks have.
So, yeah, Arwen is going to be a good one. Círdan is a good one. Protector of Lorien is good.
There is a deck currently on the front page of RingsDB which cycles Path of Need with this card.
I saw that.
It's by Yepa's Nopes. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but anyway, it tries to get Path of Need out on the active location, and that means none of your heroes exhaust to quest or attack or defend. And it can do it in round 2 in 10 out of 10 simulations, according to this, so that's pretty powerful. And he kept it in play for 11 turns. So, is that broken? I don't know. It could be broken in 4 players.
The cool thing about that is you can put it on any time, not during the planning phase, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Because you can play out of phase with this event.
And then a few Dwarven Tombs.
Spirit has a lot of recursion.
Yeah, Will of the West.
Map of Aernil on your Dwarven Tomb to get your...
Well, you don't even need to do that, do you? You can just Map of Aernil on your Reforged.
That's too efficient.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'll try to build around this.
Any thoughts overall on all of those cards? On the pack as a whole, it's the last one of the cycle. So we'll do a cycle review, surely. Tasty 6-hour episode.
Yeah.
A snappy week for them.
I feel like, with a lot of these cards, they're, as far as the cycle goes, it feels like the Numenor cycle in that there's a lot of mechanics that are set up but aren't fully fleshed out yet, especially like regarding the guarded stuff or even the creature stuff. It's like, we need one or two more things to really make this happen.
Maybe
I don't think the guarded. Yeah, the hobbits are the main lame duck right now. I don't think the guarded cards are going to develop that much. They're powerful effects. They're powerful cards, and they're in there for flavor. But I don't. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine a deck that's all about that? It would just everyone would hate you coming to the table with that.
Right. It's like a doomed deck. Go play that and a doomed deck.
There you go. A doomed guarded deck.
I like this pack a lot. It's got a lot of love for creature decks. A lot of love for the Eagles deck. No actual Eagles in that, but Radagast goes in that deck nicely. Raven goes in there nicely. His staff, Warhound's quite nice in there. Maybe Guire's deck. And I like that deck a lot. I recommend checking out Ryan's deck if you want to play a fun Eagles deck with lots of tricks. And Yeah, I'm certainly going to be playing it for a couple of quests, I think. I really enjoyed it. And Radagast was a big part of that, so I do like this pack a lot.
Yeah, I think I like it. Mostly just for the new deck that Radagast makes possible. It's great. I don't know if it's my favorite pack, but I don't know what really is my favorite pack, but certainly it's very decent. Shall we wrap it there?
Take a little break and move on to the next thingy.
Yeah.
Next thingy.
The next 2 hours.
Instead of moving on to the next segment here, we decided to end this episode. Andrew, our guest, had to get some sleep so he could be a functional dad the next morning, and we didn't want to leave him out of the next discussion topic which he had selected. So we decided to release this card review as an entire episode and save the next segment for the next episode while he will be with us again. Thanks for listening. We'll have that next episode out in a couple weeks.